This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sundu
and Christine Wong.
Of course, this is Enterprise Biz Bytes, and we'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Stories we've got lined up for you today: how Tinder are introducing a 2-second video loop.
Interesting feature.
Interesting feature. I think we all know where that's going to go.
We'll discuss later.
More discussion later. Yes, of course. Next story: smartphones are killing the planet faster than anyone expected. Jeff has a story about how DARPA are developing a human memory prosthesis.
Mm-hmm.
You can basically jack something into your brain.
If you forget something, we could fix that for you. DARPA's, yeah. DARPA's great. They're amazing.
DARPA's great. Mm-hmm. I've not heard that before. Mm-hmm. Story number four. Tesco have launched the unforgettable bag here in Malaysia. And finally, we'll be wrapping up with how Facebook have confirmed it scans your conversations in its Messenger app. When things don't seem to get any worse, they just get worse.
Yeah.
Go on then, Chris. Let's start off with this Tinder introducing the 2-second video loop.
Yeah, I'm very, very hesitant about this whole thing. But yeah, they've announced that they will begin testing their first video-based feature called Tinder Loops with only iOS users in Canada and Sweden first. The company says that it will evaluate how users respond to loops before making a decision to roll it out to other markets. Now, it's not traditional video, as you kind of might have guessed from the fact that it's called Tinder Loops. It's like a short, almost GIF-like looping video that was popularized by apps like Instagram's Boomerang and also Twitter's Vine before that, RIP Vine. In Tinder's case, loops will be just 2 seconds long and can be added to users' profiles alongside their photos. So basically, in the kind of profile thing, when you swipe, you'll see videos instead of photos if you so wish to use the thing. The company says it decided to test videos because they believe videos can show more of users' personalities. And also, they were saying that it shows people as they are, not hidden behind a soft photo filter or snapped from a classic MySpace angle, which could lead to less surprise on first dates, apparently.
Uh-huh. So a 2-second video loop would help to solve this problem and make people swipe right.
That's
more often
the
than
I like this a little bit here. It suggests the videos could be used for showing off your favorite activities, like shooting hoops or cliff jumping. And here's highlighted by my own admission.
Yeah.
But it's likely that Tinder users will find other cases for looping videos beyond that. Mm. Of course they will.
I don't know about what you guys are thinking, but I think it would be great for those people who know how to juggle. Then, you know, you could do a 2-second video of, like, you know, you could learn, you could juggle. So, yeah. Because diving and skydiving and rock climbing, what are you going to show in 2 seconds? It's like, you're going to take that one
step. I love the way you're keeping this PG when everybody in this room knows exactly what we're thinking.
We're innocent,
Rich.
The chief product officer at Tinder has suggested that you could use it to show dancing at a concert, doing cartwheels on the beach, or clinking glasses with friends. He says that loops will make profiles come alive. But I'm just sitting here like,
oh, alive it would come, definitely. Yeah.
Tinder is so convinced that they're still a dating app. That's really my opinion on that.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, how much can you show of yourself in 2 seconds as well? That's the other kind of issue that I have with that. Even
Interesting
Vine
choice of
was
words.
I was just going to say the same
how
thing,
much
right?
Can you show
how much
yourself
can you show
in 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Anyway, even Vine was 6 seconds, and that was already squeezing a lot of content into a short amount of time. And also, the fact of the matter is, they've said 2 seconds because they don't want it to be intimidating as posting a real video for users who are more shy, apparently.
I just find it weird that some of the examples they were giving is like, you know, of you clinking glasses with your friends, and like, how would that even entice the, you know, user saying like, oh, you know what, he or she has friends.
I'm not a hermit. I'm gonna swipe right.
I suppose before you'd put down your interest, right? You know, socializing, reading. So now you could just be flicking through a book and have a 2-second video of that, or clinking glasses with your friend. I like to socialize,
I guess. So
or kicking a football, or, you know, all these things.
I don't know.
I guess, you know, let us know what you would want to show in the 2 seconds video loop.
Please keep it safe.
I would also like to just point out that they're not even the first dating app to try and put video in this. Hinge tried it. Match and Bumble also tried it. And also Zook. I can't pronounce that.
Let me guess. Failed?
failed. Everything failed. A Hinge started to allow users to add videos up to 30 seconds long to their profiles. Match and Bumble tried to do kind of story-like things. Mm. And then Zook, I can't pronounce that anyway, tried to do video in a separate app, Lively, but that's now since pivoted to Trivia. So they're trying to really differentiate themselves from the other competing dating apps, but I'm just sitting here like, this is not the way.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, Facebook, your profile photo on Facebook, you can also actually upload short videos.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
How many of y'all actually use this?
No.
None,
right? So, yeah, it requires a certain type of creativity in order to really excel in GIFs or even Vine, right? So, the reason why Vine became such a popular thing was only very few people who really stood out in that platform, and hence the platform couldn't sustain itself because of that struggle to find that creativity bit. Not everyone has that creative genes in them that, you know, is able to think of, you know, what can I do in 6 seconds video or 2 seconds video in Tinder's case, right? And you know, Tinder's, you know, user base, majority of them are of the iffy, you know, base, right? So when you give them an opportunity or a new feature that their minds immediately, like, you know, everyone, when we saw this story, all of us kind of knew what was going to be the first hurdle that Tinder is going to face, right? And clearly, then it's just Tinder maybe trying to stay relevant. Maybe they're internally, you know, they have seen a drop in user base. There's so many other dating apps this time around. If you just go into your App Store, your Google Play Store, and you just search for dating apps, there's like tons of them, right? There's some very localized based as well, like, you know, they're like made locally, here in Malaysia or in the state itself, and they probably cater towards, you know, better or match better. Some of them have a little bit more of a cleaner version in the sense that it's meant for you to, you know, hang out with someone to have a coffee with, and like, or, you know, just meant for lunch and all those kind of stuff. They have all those kind of different areas. So I guess Tinder is just trying to keep itself relevant, but 2 seconds video loop, I think they're digging themselves.
I think
here.
It's dangerous.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
I'd like Tinder to realize that they're not a dating app anymore, basically.
That could help.
If they leaned into what they are, what it is, let's be real, actually used for, if they leaned into that and did that from that marketing angle, that would fit them a lot more than trying to be like, oh, you can clink glasses in a 2 second video. So that's my opinion on that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's ask folks at home, what do you think about this? What if you had the chance to upload a 2 second video to your Tinder profile, keep it family friendly, what would you upload that would define, I guess, who you are?
I can't think of anything.
Right, send your answer to 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, just by text please, or get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. We have a phone call coming in, but the lines are actually closed for the moment, so please don't call into the studio. Just send us a WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Speaking of phones, smartphones are killing the planet faster than anyone expected. This is because of a new study from researchers at McMaster's University. They've just published it in the Journal of Cleaner Production. They analyzed the carbon impact of the whole information and communication industry, ICT, from around 2010 to 2020. So that includes PCs, laptops, monitors, smartphones, and servers.
Wow.
They found really, really bad news. Even as we're shifting away from like giant tower PCs towards these tiny energy-sipping phones, the overall environmental impact of technology is only getting worse. Whereas ICT represents 1% of the carbon footprint in 2007, it's already about tripled and is on its way to exceed 14% by 2040. So that's half as large as the carbon impact of the entire transportation industry.
Huh.
Smartphones are particularly bad for a few reasons. With a 2-year average life cycle, they're more or less disposable. The problem is that building a new smartphone, and specifically mining the materials inside them, represents 85 to 95% of the device's total CO2 emissions for 2 years. That means buying one new phone takes as much energy as recharging and operating a smartphone for 10 years. Wow.
So what they're suggesting is that we change our smartphone batteries instead of buying new ones.
That is exactly what they're suggesting. So companies are attempting to make up for the lost profits by selling us bigger and fancier phones, right?
Yeah.
So researchers found that smartphones with larger screens have a measurably worse carbon footprint than smaller ancestors. Apple publicly disclosed that building an iPhone 7, 7 Plus, creates roughly 10% more CO2 than their iPhone 6S, but an iPhone 7 creates roughly 10% less than a 6S. Another study concluded that the iPhone 6S created 57% more CO2 than the iPhone 4S, and currently less than 1% of smartphones are being recycled, even though Apple offer that service.
Yeah. Mm.
So the largest culprit still, with regard to CO2 emissions, belongs to servers and data centers themselves. Mm. They represent 45% of all ICT emissions by 2020. That's because every Google search, every Facebook refresh, and every stupid tweet we post requires a computer somewhere to calculate it all in the cloud, and the numbers could even get worse depending on how popular cryptocurrency becomes.
You're forgetting about every 2 second Tinder loop video.
Every 2 second Tinder loop video. But Google have just announced that they have hit their green ceiling 2 years ahead of what they planned. Again, like everybody else, they planned it for 2020, but they're ahead of the curve. But yeah, exactly what they're saying is like, don't buy a new smartphone, just buy a new battery for your smartphone.
I mean, but that's easier said than done, though, especially with companies like Apple who have admitted to using planned obsolescence in their devices specifically because they want us to buy new phones, and then they don't allow us to just change out the parts because it's Apple and we can't touch that, right? So, this is one of those situations in which, again, you know, I would really appreciate it if they admitted to contributing to the problem and changed their policies because of this. You know, this isn't a small issue.
Yeah.
85% to 95% is not a small number.
Right. Yeah.
It's nearly 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess, you know, it trying to tell people to, you know, not change your phones and just change your battery, it kind of just solves one part of the issue, but it doesn't really solve as a consumer because, you know, like what Christine mentioned, Apple and every other manufacturer, they have these planned obsolescence, right? So they want to introduce new features that, you know, older processors can't cope with it.
Correct.
In order to get people to use these new features, they got to somehow deteriorate your current phones by a software update, and then sort of you feel like, oh, my phone's sluggish and like, I think I need to change phone, right? It's that mindset that you get. When you change battery, it's still going to have the same problem. What manufacturers need to really do is to create that modular phone that has been, you know, in design and in talks for so many years. Google tried it, then Motorola tried it, and then, you know, they keep selling it off to different companies because they can't seem to nail it. But someone really needs to start working on this modular phone, because then things would be a lot easier. But it will be so disruptive to your Googles, your Apples, your even, you know, your Samsungs and LGs and Huawei's. All of them are going to be disrupted. But I think it's the only way to, you know, protect the environment and yet still live in a very future world.
I mean, look at it this way. When IoT, Internet of Things, really starts to take off, that's when you're going to get real issues, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be so much connectivity. There's going to be so much data needed, so many servers needed, that this is going to be a massive contributor to CO2 emissions. And that's something we really need to look into. Yeah. We need to take a break with some music. We've got Radiohead coming up with Just. Before we get to that, though, Chris, what were we asking people at home?
We're asking people, what do you think of the Tinder Loop's 2 second video loop feature? Would you use it? And if so, what would you upload on there? Please keep it family friendly. Thanks.
WhatsApp is 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Into some music now. Radiohead with Just here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Jeff Sandu
and Christine Wong.
You guys are shy at home. We asked you to contribute to tell us what you would upload to Tinder if you had the opportunity to upload a 2 second video. What do you think about it? We've had no messages so far, guys. Come on, don't leave us hanging here in the studio. We really want to know what you're putting on there.
We restricted them because we told them to keep it family friendly.
I think that's probably what we've done.
So clearly, Tinder, if you're listening, you know now.
And the thing is, if they messaged us, that we would assume that they were Tinder users. Get us 018-789-8899. Not of course. And get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Let us know what you think about it, seriously. Right, moving on to story number three. A little bit scary, this, but also really interesting. DARPA developing a human memory prosthesis.
Yeah, so if at its most essential, the brain is like this mass of wires and circuits, and when something goes wrong, logic suggests that a brain can be rewired to fix it. This is the theory behind a host of research that seeks to correct things like mental illness, paralysis, blindness, impaired cognitive ability by interfering with the brain's wiring and also firing, right? In the latest advancements of from the front lines of neuroscience, researchers at the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center and the University of Southern California have successfully restored memory to people with poor short-term memory function.
I could totally do with this.
Yeah, same.
So the research was funded by Richard's favorite company, or the military secretive DARPA research branch, or as part of their restoring active memory, or RAM, as they call it. Very fitting.
Nice.
Very fitting. Yeah.
Nice.
So they launched it in 2013. The program's eventual goal is to create an implantable brain-computer interface capable of restoring normal memory functions to people suffering from brain injury or illness. This is a fascinating thing because, you know, they're getting real-world results in actual patients here. Investments in this neurotechnology over the past two decades, it's become to a point where, according to Justin Sanchez, he's the director of DARPA's Biological Technologies Office and also the program manager for RAM, he's saying that it's an extremely exciting point today because we're testing tangible technologies that have the potential to alleviate some of the worst effects of brain injury and illness. Now, the researchers of RAM focuses on episodic memory, which includes the short-term memory needed to remember, for example, things like where a car is or what someone had for dinner the night before, or when they took the last medication. Episodic memory loss is one of the most common types of memory loss in people who experience brain injury and also Alzheimer's disease. The researchers focused on the hippocampus area of the brain, which is the area of the brain where it's responsible for memory and improves episodic memory. Now, a little bit of like science here. I may not be able to explain this in full. I'll try my best. Now, the hippocampus has subregions known as the CA3 and the CA1 that work together to support memory encoding and retrieval. When the brain wants to encode something as a memory, neurons are fired in the CA3 region, which inputs information into the hippocampus. And then the neural activity occurs in the CA1 region, which marks output from the hippocampus. Epilepsy patients had electrodes surgically implanted in both the CA3 and CA1 regions during the study to record this neuronal activity. Now, the participants then perform a visual memory test where they were shown an image like a color black. And after a brief delay, a few seconds, they were then asked to identify this image out of 4 to 5 other images. As a result, the researchers could create this multi-input, multi-output, which is called MIMO. It's a non-linear mathematical spatial-temporal model to predict the transformation of neuronal firing patterns between the CA3 region and the CA1 region. So basically, they're just trying to map out how these, you know, neurons are being firing from CA1 to CA3 in the hippocampus area. So the codes created by the model match the CA1 firing patterns that happens when CA3 encodes the information correctly, which corrects natural errors in the transformation between CA1 and CA3 firing patterns. So after the researchers created this firing pattern model, they perform another image recall test on volunteers using this pattern spatial temporal electrical stimulation of CA1 to play back this MIMO based codes that were obtained from this neuronal activity in CA3. Volunteers had a 37% improvement in episodic memory performance, and that's a huge number as well. Researchers then tested the system to see if it had a similar effect on long-term memory, and it also showed some positives there. volunteers were shown a set of three images after a 75-minute delay, and they were asked to identify the original photo from a set of four or five photos. The volunteers were stimulated with the correct spatial-temporal codes and had a 35% improvement in memory. According to Sanchez, who's the program director of RAM, he's saying that, you know, we're closing in on our goal of implantable closed-loop memory prosthesis. So, you know, it's this, you know, this idea of us being, you know, we will forget things, and, you know, these minor things that will cause, you know, that leads to like Alzheimer's, or if we have a brain injury and you know, causes us to forget basic things. Things like taking your medication, because that's, you know, so vital. Now we could somehow kind of, you know, follow the brain patterns and how it fires this neuron and fix it, basically. It's just like a circuit board.
Well, with DARPA, my question is always, what is the ulterior motive here? What
can give you the answer
evilness
to that.
Can I can be give used you the answer for?
Because as he was telling me that, the one thing that was running through my CA1 and CA3 was not just reprogramming your brain. Look, I love the stuff DARPA does. It's fascinating stuff. But we always know that there is some insidious meaning and purpose behind the research.
They're a defense agency that's working in Pentagon. Yeah.
Exactly. So the idea would be about being able to implant things using the same technology. I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of being able to kind of kickstart your brain to make it re-remember things that you've forgotten is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally think that the deeper meaning behind this is, look, you know, I want to plant something in your brain. This is how we do it. I mean, and this is this whole purpose that we know of creating these soldiers at some point is to just give them orders without having to think about it. It's just a click of a button, it's done.
So this is kind of like bringing like the Winter Soldier from like the Marvel Universe to light. Literally brainwashing someone and essentially creating false memories and creating, you know, this kind of mentality in them that they didn't have before, because you can do that now if you can create a memory prosthesis.
Correct.
Yeah, so basically it's there's the good side and the bad side, right? It's the Facebook thing as well, right? There's a good thing in the sense that Facebook connects us with family and friends that we, you know, normally would be hard for us to connect, but we're giving out data. It's the same thing with this technology as well. Like, it's good that it's helping soldiers who, you know, may have come back from the war may have some brain injury or some, you know, issues, or even just elderly people or people with Alzheimer's, and they need something like this to help them to think about, you know, did I take my medication and stuff. That helped them. But you could also use the same kind of, you know, technique for evil purposes, right?
Yeah.
Now, sticking with DARPA, the Defense Agency Research Projects Agency, they're actually, you know, I can understand the risk that they have there. It's an independent task force operating out of Pentagon. Its mandate is to discover and develop new technologies for national security. Since its inception in 1958, DARPA has spawned the internet, GPS, stealth aircraft, and also Boston Dynamic Robots, robotics, right?
So, all killing machines so far.
All killing machines. So, yeah, you know, you can see why we're all like, ugh, you know. So now DARPA has extended a third year of funding to Amy Laveris. She's the director of Robotics, Automation and Dance, or RAD Lab. Laveris is a roboticist and a dance choreographer, and also a vocal outliner challenging the current goals and priorities of the robotics community and how robots should move. Basically, she wants robots to dance.
I think we all do, right?
That's kind of adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable.
But with DARPA, there's always adorable butt, isn't there?
I'd like to see robots dance.
I just want one thing for once, just to be purely wholesome with this, honestly.
Speaking about purely wholesome things, Christine, do we have any messages?
We got one message here. This is from last four numbers, 1826. This person, Scoot, says, I don't have Tinder and will not use it. For the sake of moderation, if I ever use it, I'll post my, and then quote marks, ducks picture just for the fun of it. Cheers.
I see. Quack, quack. Well done.
Quack, quack.
All right. Keep the messages coming in, please. We are asking you if you had the opportunity to upload a 2-second video to Tinder, what would you post? It's on a loop of 2 seconds. Please keep the answers clean. Let us know what you think about this new feature, 018-789-8899, or on Twitter at BFM Radio. Time for a short break. Some music coming up from The Pretenders with Don't Get Me Wrong. When we get back, The Unforgettable Bag, all offered by Tesco here in Malaysia. You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Bole Fikir Mandalam, BFM
89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you're only just joining us, we started off today's show with a story about how Tinder are introducing a 2-second video loop. That can't go wrong for sure. We asked you if you were to contribute to those 2-second videos, what would you upload? What did you think about it? Christine, what do you have?
Yeah, so I've got a number ending in 6008 who just says, I would probably show a clip of me kicking open a door with the John Cena theme song playing or something equally funny. By the way, love the show. Keep it up, guys. Thank you very much.
Aww. Lovely. Keep them coming in. 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. Jeff, what would you upload if you had the opportunity? Right.
I wanted to say smack your face and post it up online, but then it doesn't
smack
quite show
face?
My
face?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
You know, it's just, but it doesn't show my personality.
Oh,
so, yeah.
I think it does.
Or maybe.
I think it does.
Maybe it does. But people won't know who I am, though. They'll know who you are.
Mm.
Yeah, that you don't want people confusing them
slow-mo.
On Tinder.
We'll do like
slow-mo. Oh, like a slow-mo? We could do that.
How can you do a slow-mo in 2 seconds? Like,
good question. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
This is
from
why
slow-mo.
Tinder's 2-second video loop will
fail. Right. So the supermarket group Tesco have launched a scheme here in Malaysia based on bags with barcodes, giving customers discounts on their shopping every time they reuse the bags. Yay. It's called the Unforgettable Bag and was launched in 11 Tesco stores in Malaysia's capital, of course, KL, and in Johor on Tuesday in an effort to shift away from the single-use plastic bags and to reduce waste. So the director at Tesco Malaysia said 70% of customers have their own carrier bags, but leave them in the car rather than bringing them into the store. Guilty, I will admit. Anybody else? Guilty?
I always have a carrier bag with me.
Okay.
I don't. And
I always do.
I don't, and I end up, you know, carrying with my hands
right,
all the stuff,
right.
And some of them drop on the floor, and yeah.
The thing is that I usually have a bag or a purse that I bring around with me, so it makes my life a lot easier to put a carrier bag inside that and not, like, in a pocket or
so
something.
So here's the quote. Because we leave them in the car, the quote is, that's why we thought of the idea of the unforgettable bag. It's a bit of a push for them. These new bags will be sold for 50 cent each, and customers will get a free replacement if the bag is torn or damaged. Tesco will offer customers a cash rebate of 20 cent for each bag reused. It's not bad.
Clever.
Not bad, right?
That's the only way that you can target people to, you know,
correct.
Thing, right? You give them cashbacks.
Correct. Each year, between 500 billion and a trillion plastic bags are used globally, according to industry estimates, with fewer than 10% recycled. Many end up in the world's oceans or dumped in landfill. We've talked about this regularly. More than 8 million tons of plastic enter the ocean each year, and marine experts fear there could be more plastic than fish in the ocean by 2050, measured by weight.
Recently, there was a video that went viral about this diver in Bali.
I saw that, yeah.
And, it was really sad
so
story.
So,
yeah.
Meanwhile, more than 40 countries have partially banned, or taxed single-use bags, including parts of Malaysia and India, China, France, Rwanda, Italy, and Kenya. So this unforgettable bag is made from a recyclable plastic that is more durable than conventional plastic bags. Tesco have said, and sports a turtle, a fish, or whale design to highlight the risks plastic waste poses to sea creatures. So the trial, the first of its kind by a major hypermarket in Malaysia, limits the bag discounts to 2 per transaction. That's sneaky.
Mm-hmm. Sneaky. So the cash rebate is 20 cent per bag use.
Correct.
Does it build up over time? Can you just hoard them and then have like, and then at the end of like a year, you suddenly you have like
300
you have like 50
cash
ringgit and you can just buy.
Now you're talking like a Malaysian.
No, I'm curious because, you know, if it's just 20 cent, you're not gonna you can buy one stick of gum.
Yeah, no, you can't. You will get 40 cent back per shopping if
then,
you're using that.
Then I don't feel like that's enough of an incentive.
It's still something. I guess it's a very good step forward from, especially from a local kind of,
exactly,
you know, Tesco Malaysia is doing this, and it's a step forward to the. But I did an interview, I think about 2 years ago, with someone from IBM, and they were talking about in the UK there was a study that came up about how plastic bags were actually recycling plastic bags, any type of plastic bags, whether it's the recyclable plastic ones that you see in IKEA, Tesco, and all that, or just the standard usual ones that we get from our quickie marts, right? All of them actually aren't really reusable because of the bacteria that's
right
in them. As soon as it's used for one time, for example, right? So one of the examples I remember he was giving, like, you know, when you go to the supermarket, Tesco Malaysia, for example, when you go in there, you buy your meat, your veg, and you put them in that one plastic bag, right? the next time around you go, you may buy some detergents and some other stuff and you use in that plastic bag. And then you store that plastic bag in either your car boot, which is hot. And humid, like, you know, Malaysia, it's humid. So it tends to be a great place for these bacteria to spawn and to, you know, sort of create their own little habitat, right?
Thanks,
which
Jeff,
we
for
can't
that.
See.
Yeah.
And then we use that same plastic bag to go going back into the stores and then we buy again our fresh meat or our veg. And most of our veg that we buy from the stores don't actually have like that, you know, plastic thing to cover them. They're like, they're out open in the market, right? So you buy them, you put them in this plastic bag, and then of course you go home, you wash them and stuff, but still, you know, there is so, you know, in the scientific term, it's not that friendly to
hygienic.
The hygienic, yeah, but you know, to the world, it's a lot more eco-friendly.
It is. Every Malaysian on average throws away 300 plastic bags a year. That's according to the Malaysian Plastics Manufacturers Association. That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's
900. I would rather wash my plastic bag. Than,
okay,
you know.
So this is my other thing, right? Because we also have the 20-cent fee in place for when you have to buy a plastic bag on Saturdays and stuff like that in various, you know, places. And that already hasn't really been working. And this is kind of working in the reverse. Mm-hmm. Instead of having to pay 20 cent, you kind of earn 20 cent. Yeah. But I don't know if that's enough. Mm. You know, if it was like maybe like, I don't know, even 50 cent, for example, might be slightly more of an incentive to because it's not, it doesn't, 20 cent can't buy you anything. That's my issue with that.
And more than likely, that 20 cent anyway will end up, you put it in a charity box or it'll end up in your
pocket.
Or
you use it to buy a plastic bag.
Yes, correct.
Also, I don't use coins these days because where do you use your coins? I can't carry coins with my skinny jeans and I don't keep coins in my pocket, in my wallet itself. There's no coin wallet. Like, my car is stacked with coins that I can't use for my toll because everything is touch and go now. I can't use for my auto pay parking because everything only accepts notes now.
Yep.
My coins are just there as a thing that I do every year. I go to the bank and I, you know, claim it and I get like a good 300-400 ringgit.
Yeah. Pass them to me. I'll recycle them for you.
This is why my 2-second video loop will be of me smacking your face, Rich.
I love you too. Right, music coming up in a second from Arctic Monkeys with Teddy Picker, and then we're back with our final story, how Facebook have confirmed it scans your conversations in its Messenger app. I don't think we're any surprised by that at all at this point. Meanwhile, we are asking you if you had the opportunity to upload a 2-second video to your Tinder profile, if you have one, what would you upload and what do you think about this new feature? Get us on 018-789-8899. That's the WhatsApp number, or you can get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Music from the Arctic Monkeys here on BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. Moving on to our final story of the day. Unless you've been living under a rock for the past 2 weeks, you will know that the evil Facebook Corporation has been harvesting data for years, allegedly, and selling it onwards to other people. We've recently found out that Facebook confirming that they scan your conversations in their Messenger app. I'd heard rumors about this before, but I was never 100% sure about it.
Well, now it's been confirmed, and none other than by the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, himself. So they've confirmed that they scan users' conversations on the Messenger app in order to ensure that the content is meeting, quote-unquote, community standards. The confirmation comes a week after the topic first drew scrutiny from privacy activists following CEO Mark Zuckerberg's interview with Vox's Ezra Klein, where he described a situation in which the company intervened to prevent abuse on one of its platforms, Facebook Messenger. So what he said was, they detected that people were trying to spread sensational messages through Facebook Messenger to each side of the conflict, referring to Facebook's alleged role in spreading propaganda during the Rohingya crisis. Mm-hmm. So it was confirmed by him that they were looking at the direct messages and not public ones.
So by saying that they read these messages to intervene, he admitted without realizing what he meant.
So that's kind of awkward. He said that the messages detected by Facebook were, and I quote, basically telling the Muslims, hey, there's about to be an uprising of the Buddhists, so make sure that you are armed and go to this place, and then the same thing on the other side. That's like a direct quote from Mark Zuckerberg.
Wow.
So it's the problem with this is that Facebook is kind of trying to address one problem and then creating another in its place. They're trying to, you know, prevent abuse of its platforms, obviously, to spread, you know, all this political propaganda and such like. But then that brings up questions about, obviously, user privacy and how exactly Facebook actually monitors its Messenger app and what they use that monitoring for.
Right.
And also because when you think about it, you know, direct messaging is supposed to be more secure. It's a private conversation. That's the whole point of directly messaging someone. But this really, it feels like a even more, if you can even at this point have more of a violation of trust from Facebook now, right? So a Facebook Messenger spokeswoman has told Bloomberg that the information gathered from scanning Messenger is not supposed to be used for advertising and isn't used for advertising. Facebook said it uses the same automated tools to scan conversations as it does to monitor the public portion of the social network, and the team only jumps in when they're alerted to something out of the ordinary or a clear violation of their community standards. Messenger users do have the option to enable encrypted messaging, apparently, but the security feature isn't turned on by default. And I didn't know that feature even existed.
Nor did I.
So the fact of the matter is, while they claim that this feature is available and that you can opt into it, For me personally, I feel like it should be an opt-out. It should already be default.
I think they call it secret conversations. Just opening it up on my phone, it says when secret conversations are enabled, these conversations are end-to-end encrypted on all or any of your mobile devices at the same time.
Encrypted.
Yeah.
Which means that no one can hack into this, but it doesn't mean that no one can analyze.
Right.
Well, it's
right.
True, but at least it provides some form of security.
Some form of security.
At the very least, I kind of feel like why aren't you promising this, you know, private one-to-one message platform a default kind of privacy?
It sounds so simple for Facebook to solve this problem in the sense that they should just come out and, you know, state it clearly what has happened, who was responsible for this, and, like, you know, get those people who were responsible for this to sort of be charged, because it was a criminal activity. What happened with Cambridge Analytica was a criminal act. Get that chapter sorted, and then introduce new layers where everyone now is talking about privacy, right?
Yeah.
It should be going back to that Steve Jobs clip in 2010 that we played a week ago or so, right? Where Steve Jobs was mentioning, it was very simple. For them, privacy, for Steve Jobs' mind, privacy was something that you put in to that user's face time and time and time and time again, so much so that the user gets bored and or gets annoyed with you, and to the point that it understands what you're doing every time that you want to use you want to use the service. You should send that reminder. It should be clearer. Yeah. I had no idea as well in the security feature within Facebook Messenger, and so I don't really use Facebook Messenger, but you know, it's now just like thinking Facebook owns WhatsApp as well.
Yeah,
and I use WhatsApp a lot.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And WhatsApp is encrypted, which is great, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised in a year or so that you would see something happen and it's some data from WhatsApp that has, you know, caused some certain shifts in this thing. Because again, you know, they're now using WhatsApp for Business, and WhatsApp for Business is going to use some form of analytics, and you know, you're just opening it up. So, you know, Facebook, just be a bit more open in the security settings and stuff. It's a lot hidden. A lot of these layers are hidden.
A question, though. I mean, even if they do come out and you do find out these people who are responsible and they are charged, will that then change the way in which we interact and use Facebook, do you think?
Well, at least we will still use Facebook than, you know, not using it at all, which is the downfall of this company. They need to realize that it's the ship is sinking. You can't just, like, you know, still be in this mind like, no, we're fine, the ship is still gonna sail. It won't sail because it is sinking. So fix the problem, let the ship sort of go underneath it a little bit, but you will rise when you come out of it. We've seen companies, Apple back in the days had the same issue as well, in the sense that, you know, they had a beating, they took a beating, went down, and then came back up again. So Facebook needs to do that thing.
All right. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much for contributing your messages, all three of them. You know, maybe we'll pick a topic that you guys might be more interested in, where you can give us something else.
I think people are interested. It's just that
they don't
want to
come in and say and share, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Anyway, so what we'll do is, if you missed any part of the show, remember you can download the podcast by using the app, which is available in the Apple App Store, or of course on Google Play. So we did start off with that story about Tinder.
Yep. So they've begun testing their first video feature, Tinder Loops, which is a 2-second looping video. And it's Tinder. So. Yeah.
So there you go. And then we moved on to a story about how smartphones are killing the planet faster than anyone expected.
Mm, and DARPA, they're developing a prosthesis memory system. It's no longer science fiction now.
Tesco here in Malaysia launching the Unforgettable Bag.
Yep, and then after up to 87 million Facebook users may have had their data already harvested by Cambridge Analytica, Facebook has now confirmed that they also have scanned your conversations in the Messenger app.
Ta-da!
Yay!
Wonderful stuff. Thank you, Facebook. Right, it's time for us to wrap up, but don't go anywhere because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, as ever, is the Breakfast Grill replay. You may have heard us talking about it the other day about iPay88 and their virtual bank accounts. So all the hype around the emerging digital economy, electronic payments platform iPay88, looks set to capitalize on the share of the pie. The Breakfast Grill spoke to the founder, Lim Kok Hing, who shared about iPay88's plans moving forward in the highly competitive and rapidly evolving segment. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. You have been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I've been Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Jeff Sandu
and Christine Wong.
Music coming out, it is The Undertones. You've got my number. Why don't you use it? Here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.